The following Earth Angel Media presentation is brought to you commercial-free as a gratuity from the sponsor producer named after the show. Please consider their message. Find other high-value shows listed at earthangelproject.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to Leadership on Purpose, the podcast series. I'm your host, Catherine, and this is where we shatter the status quo and dive deep into the raw, unfiltered stories of those who are embracing their inner alignment. If you're tired of the cookie-cutter approach to success and you crave a life that resonates with your true self, you are in the right place. Join me each week as we uncover powerful insights from those who have had the courage to lean into their purpose, live authentically, and create a life they were made for. This isn't just a conversation. It's a movement. This is a revolution of authentic leadership, where we don't just talk about change, we live it. And you can too. Hello and welcome back to Leadership on Purpose. I'm really excited for you to meet my guest today. I know I have brought you guys some amazing conversations, and I feel like they just build on each other and get better and better, and you're going to love our conversation today. So you are about to meet Sat Devbir, and Sat is an international speaker. He is an energy healer. He's an urban yogi. He actually is the creator of Mansion of the Heart School here in LA, and we're going to talk to him about all things transformation, a lot of spirituality talk. And one conversation that a lot of people are talking about right now, which is the concept of manifestation. So, and how does that all lead back to leadership on purpose? Well, it has everything to do with leadership on purpose, because as we've been talking about, your authentic self and aligning that internal compass is what makes you authentically lead in the world. And so we're trying to really bridge that gap between who you are as a person and how you show up every day. So Sat, thank you so much for joining us and being here today.
Ah, so great to be with you.
So excited for this conversation. So tell me a little bit about your, tell me a little bit about yourself. And then I want to dig into, Sat has a really cool story that happened to him in 2007. And that was really the catalyst for his awakening and for him really moving into a different direction in his life. And so talk to me about a little bit about your childhood and then what happened to you in 2007. And this is a little woo woo. So buckle up, but it's a really cool story. So go for it.
All right. Thank you for that. Yeah, a little woo-woo.
We're getting woo-woo. I'm here for it.
Oh, amazing. Thank you. So yes, I mean, I was definitely born with some extrasensory abilities. I could communicate with people on the other side sometimes. I had...
what does that look like? How do you know you were communicating with them?
Oh, such a good question. The first distinct memory I have is... I think I was just playing with some toys or something, and all of a sudden I had a vision of this kind of older man, and he was really big and tall, and he kind of had a big voice, and he said, "I'm your grandfather, and I'd like you to tell your mother this, that, the other."
Oh, weird.
And, yeah, and I was like, oh, okay, because he had passed away before I was born. And so I go to my mother, and I'm like, "Grandpa Bert says blah, blah, blah." I don't even remember exactly what it was now, but she just, you know, her face was like total fear. It was really wild, which is kind of funny because later I learned that she also had this psychic experience with him where she was off camping with my father and she sat up in bed or something and she's like, "Oh, my father's going to die." And so when the ranger came and said, "You have a phone call," the next morning,
wow,
she knew exactly what it was. So yeah, I guess maybe they had a special connection or she's probably psychic as well, but
yeah,
just didn't really want to embrace it. And so yeah, that was one of the first experiences, which I later learned was more like a mediumship experience when we're able to communicate with those on the other side. But then I would also just see things that I learned at a young age other people couldn't see. I could see energy. I could see people's auras. I could see when people started to get tense, how their auras would change, and I would bolt out of the room. Like, I know what's about to happen. There's going to be some kind of fight or...
Fascinating.
Yeah. So I learned all of that. I learned to be really sensitive to energy and everything that I was seeing and feeling. So yeah, it was just a lot of color and sometimes random spirits. The most prominent one was actually this purple orb that I'd always see kind of floating around my ceiling. And we would have these conversations and I had no context for it. So I just called it God because it felt like this really wise voice. And I stopped telling people about it quite early, but it went on for a long time, I think, until I was in high school and kind of got that, you know, teenager angst and attitude, and it maybe bolted and said, you know, let's let him do his thing for a while. But yeah, that was really interesting that we would have these profound telepathic conversations. And I even thought I was going to die at one point when I was 16. I kept getting these messages that I was going to die. And then I was on my way to the hospital or to a doctor's appointment because I didn't want to freak out my parents or anything. So I took it upon myself to make a doctor's appointment, drive myself to a doctor an hour away to see what was going on. But maybe 20 minutes outside of the doctor's office, this voice came back and said, "You're going to be fine. You're not going to die." I had chills through my body. I knew that the message was true. So yeah, there was just like random things like that that would happen my whole life. So I didn't know what extrasensory was. I didn't even know what ESP stood for.
Right.
So, right, I'm like, I was born in the Midwest in the middle of, you know, just cornfields and all of that. So no one around me really had any context. So I certainly didn't either. So yeah, I was really just like an alien and super sensitive kid and super interested in like mythological creatures and stuff. So that definitely made me a huge dork. I was like bullied all the time. And so of course all of this made sense after the spiritual awakening because yeah. I needed to really cultivate a lot of compassion within myself, and I needed to experience the deficit of what I was here to do so that I would have more passion toward creating unity in the world, right? When you feel like such an outcast and an outsider, you really have a stronger desire to bring people in, at least I did. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like that's kind of part of a lot of spiritual conversation too, and even manifesting is... If we look at our biggest challenges, if we look at the things we felt we had a deficit of, I didn't get enough love, or my parents didn't pay attention to me, or whatever it is, we're here to pass that on. When we experience a deficit of something, then often we're so much more inspired to bring it to the world. And so with that kind of soulful, spiritual energy behind you, it's a lot easier to kind of get on track with your higher purpose. Mm-hmm. So just as a little note as we're going down memory lane here.
So, you know, you say something that, or you said something that I wanted to touch on, being psychic. I think when people hear that term, you know, in this mainstream world, it's, you know, you think of a psychic as like a little pop-up shop on the corner of someone who's going to like charge you $20 and tell you your future. But really, that's not what being psychic is about. It's really about having the clairvoyance that's available to all of us. It's not a, it's not like a witch thing. And it's become, you know, I think it's become this thing where it's a witch-themed thing, or it's been a little bit taboo, I think, in the mainstream world. So how would you describe what psychic really means? Oh. And how are those gifts available to everybody?
You have such a good point, because I don't even call myself a medium or a psychic, because it's misinterpreted, as you said, and misunderstood, but also because it's so fluid. Sometimes it's vision, sometimes it's claircognizance, just like a knowing. I know my extrasensory stuff comes through so many different ways. And yeah, they can all be kind of chalked up to psychic abilities, but you're absolutely right. All of us have the capacity. It's just that when the Industrial Revolution hit and we started to really value science over connection, and we started to value our machines and our, you know, we can prove it. And we really stopped studying life and started studying death. Instead of learning about ourselves and the world through observing life, we had these tools then that said, well, I can cut this animal open and learn about it. I can cut this dead human body open and learn about it. And so we kind of started studying death versus life. And I think that's where a lot of us got super shut down. We started to use the cerebral functions, the left brain, the logic, and we really abandoned our natural intuition. And so it is a very natural thing for human beings to have this connection to each other, to the world, to the universe. We've just kind of pinched ourselves off.
So it's an intuition-based knowing.
100%.
There's actually, I was listening to a podcast, I think, and it was a gentleman who talked about getting in touch with your intuition. He's a person who helps you bring out your intuition. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was so interesting. I'm like, well, that's something I think everybody could really utilize, especially the youth of today, is like, how do you learn to listen to your, how do you know it's your intuition and not just your mind telling you something that you want to do or you don't want to do? Yes. How would you explain that to someone? Like, how do you lean into your own intuition?
Oh, it's self-attunement. This is the other thing. In our hustle culture, achievement culture, we've also disowned these parts of ourselves that actually need our attention and need our care. And that's the piece that's so important in cultivating intuition, is telling your body to sit and stay and being in that meditation, contemplation, whatever you want to call it, but not just to try and stop your thoughts or relieve some stress, but to actually connect with yourself. Self-attunement is so important. We gotta check in. What's going on? What are these emotions telling me? What is my body telling me? We have to cultivate interoception again, because we've started to override when we're hungry, when we're full, when we need to rest, right? We're not paying attention to the cues that our bodies are giving us. And so I think a huge part of intuition is actually restoring interoception, doing vagal toning, regulating our nervous systems. Our higher chakras don't work when we're in fight or flight. Mm-hmm. The sympathetic nervous system kicks on. Mm-hmm. All the blood goes into our limbs, literally, so mm-hmm. we can fight or flight. Mm-hmm. And our higher chakras are not going to work. The third eye intuition is not going to work when we're in that state. We're going to be making our decisions based on impulses and survival mode. And it's really just the lower chakras that are activated. So when I say self-attunement, it really is self-care, sitting with yourself, just like a new person that you're kind of enthralled with. And you're just like, oh my gosh, this person is so interesting, or I'm so attracted to this person, or whatever it is. Like, we have to be that way with ourselves.
Yeah.
We have to be insatiable in the way that we get to know ourselves. And if we can build that self-attunement, the intuition all comes online. But if we're just running around going crazy with a million things, trying to taskmaster, and the intuition has a really hard time coming through. And even when we're dropping down into more subtle states, it still sounds more like a whisper. And the second that the logical mind comes in and tries to second guess intuition, it bounces, it's out.
Yeah. Yep.
So when you get that intuition and you sense it as intuition, you got to capture it. You got to write it down, leave yourself a voice memo, whatever it is. Do not let that slip away. And if it doesn't make logical sense, sometimes you just have to trust. It's a very specific frequency. It's a very specific feeling. And most people, if they really think about it, can think back to moments when they've had that experience, when something has just felt really aligned and they couldn't explain why, or why they had to do that, or why they had to move across the country, or whatever, why they had to get divorced. You know, like, sometimes our intuition is just like, this is it, this is the way. And we're not always brave enough to follow it. But if we can be courageous enough to go with it, that's where we really increase our power of manifestation and stay on path.
Oh my gosh, I think that's such a great way to describe it. So essentially, you know, we're so accustomed to grinding it out, working hard, you know, killing ourselves to get to the next thing. And that's where you lose all of it, right? You lose your entire frequency changes, and you're furthest away from your authentic self, because we weren't really made to live like that, right? We weren't mm-hmm. made to create like that. So, and it seems to be a collective, you know, the humanity as a collective is really starting to understand this now. And there's more people coming online saying, and I don't mean online literally, I mean, they're coming to themselves, and they're, you know, they're understanding that there's the way that it's been done is not the way it needs to be going moving forward. And a lot of that's probably our souls telling us, you know, hey, this isn't the life. This isn't the way we were supposed to do things. Like, you know, there's lack of authenticity. There's lack of inner alignment. And you were here to really find your true purpose and change the world. Right. I think that's why we were all created.
Yes.
Into this physical avatar that we have. Whether we like it or not.
That's right. Absolutely.
So, yeah. Mm. All right. So tell me about 2007.
Okay. So 2007, I'll try to be succinct, but yeah, I had started to hear this voice of my higher self again, and it had been a while since I was getting messages and things like that. I had gone to school and gotten a great job and doing all the things and trying to be normal. And then all of a sudden, I started hearing this voice that was without a doubt my higher self, which is interesting because I hadn't heard that term before, but I just had this knowing that it was my higher self, soul self, whatever. And it's like, go to the Bodhi Tree bookstore and read Autobiography of a Yogi and go to End of the Seventh Ray and this and that. And this Saint Germain book fell off the shelf. And then it was go to this yoga class and go to this meditation training. And so I was just doing all this stuff. Go find these crystals. I was running all over Los Angeles trying to find these crystals that would come to me in my visions. And every time I would sit down to meditate, it would just be chills, 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 and really feeling like these strong connections. I didn't know at the time that was my Kundalini coming up, and I was having Kundalini awakenings every day when I would sit down to meditate. Subtle enough to handle, but they were beautiful and intense in their own way. So finally, I'm sitting in my living room one night meditating. My apartment in Hollywood up by the Hollywood Bowl, and all of a sudden the orb is back, the purple orb from my childhood.
Interesting.
And I was like, whoa, I forgot about this. And I could just really feel this aliveness and this kind of warmth. And it was like, you know, an old friend or something. And so it starts to descend. How it used to always float around the ceiling, it starts to kind of descend to the center of the room, and then it grew. And I'm kind of watching it, and I'm like, are my eyes open? You know, but my eyes were open, and out of it comes this huge archangel. Huge archangel appears and says, come with me. And he yanks me out of my physical body. Mind you, at this point, I still have no idea what an astral body is, let alone that we all have one, you know? And so later I learn he yanked my astral body out of my physical body, took me to the other side, took me to the very beginning when Source was still non-physical, and I got to watch the creation process of sound waves emerging and increasing in heat and frequency and turning to plasma and, you know, light and hydrogen atoms and all this stuff and, you know, swirls of things being born, consciousness and orbs of light and stars and planets and all these different things. And then what we call the monads or the oversouls were born, and they started to birth these souls out of them. That's us, right? These eternal souls that then started to descend through different realms that were being created to mature themselves and give Creator an infinite number of ways of experiencing itself. So that's how I relate to myself and all of us, is all creation that we see and experience is really giving Source an infinite number of ways of experiencing itself. And so the law of free will is really powerful, because Source energy doesn't really care how we use our energy. It knows that it'll eventually be recycled and recalibrated. And, you know, if we want to be really destructive with it, that's our prerogative. We can do that. That's our free will. But of course, we feel so much more aligned and harmonious and fulfilled when we're kind of moving in alignment with divine will, aligning our free will with divine will. So there's an intelligence there that we can all be brought back toward that pure awareness of Source energy. But yeah, there was so much. I mean, I got to see the dimensions of consciousness and different civilizations and galaxies and universes and creator gods that design these holograms, like this Earth hologram we're in now, all designed for our souls to have spaces, environments to evolve through. And it was really interesting too to see how the Earth's core quality is diversity, We have Venus is love and Mars is action and Jupiter is expansion, right? All of these planets have their own unique consciousness that influences the whole galaxy and whatnot and solar system. But I didn't know that Earth has this core quality of diversity. And that's why so many souls want to sign up for this experience, because we can evolve so much being thrown in with all these different souls at vastly different points of their evolution, with vastly different curriculum, life curriculum that we choose pre-incarnation. And so that was really fascinating in terms of the piece that's maybe super relevant to our existence here and now in this human form, that, yeah, it feels really hard and chaotic and dense a lot of the time, but it's also so beautiful. And when we can sort of track that there are 8 billion of us human souls at vastly different points of our evolution with such varied curriculum for our lives, then it's a little easier to just be with, to coexist without freaking out. Why are these people doing that? Why are they believing this? It's like, just stay in your own lane, right? Mm. We all have our unique purpose, and there's so many realities coexisting here. And I feel like that was pretty huge for me coming back and trying to wrap my head around what I had just seen and what happened in that journey. That was a piece that really stood out. I felt so much more relaxed in, you know, my judgments. I kind of dissolved my judgments around other people and a lot of my resistance of like, oh, that person's obnoxious or that's such a big ego or whatever. I'm just like, we're all doing our thing.
I mean, you might be the most chill person I've ever met in my life. So I can definitely attest to that.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad that comes across.
Yeah, for sure. That's fascinating. So you have this experience. You think it happened. How long do you think it was going, like, how long was it?
Oh my God. I mean, honestly, I think it was like 20 minutes in our 3D sense of time. And yet it was, I mean, I thought that I had been gone for 6 years. I was like, where am I? What time is it? What year is it? You know, I mean,
so crazy.
Yeah.
You weren't scared?
I wasn't scared. That was the trippiest part. And as my life started to get turned upside down in the aftermath, I also wasn't scared. It was like there were parts of me that were definitely feeling pain of having to let go of relationships and move out of my home and all these different things that happened. But the trust was stronger. Mm. I knew that what was happening was something really positive and profound. So I stayed with it.
So you have this intense experience and you're working at a hotel or you're just living your life as a normal person. You have this experience. And then what does that do to you? Where do you go? You wake up and it's like you can't really go back, right? Your whole life has just changed.
Mm-hmm.
So where does that put you?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, yeah, there was a lot of wrestling with feeling lied to by religion and, a lot of kind of world agreements that are so distorted. And so I definitely had a grieving process with all of that. I felt, kind of betrayed by this reality in a way and had to really reconcile that in my own mind and heart. And then I feel like, just the relationships didn't resonate anymore. I couldn't just go hang out at the mall. I wasn't going to go to happy hour after an experience like that.
Yeah.
So, all of that got turned upside down. And I think I was supported so much. Every day after that experience, I was getting visited by another ascended master, another archangel, some kind of evolved being would step in.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I think I would be almost scared, but I think their energy is probably so loving that it would take that fear. You know, there's no fear there.
That's exactly what it is. It's the vibration is just such pure love, and you just melt into it and it's euphoric. It was Yeshua, it was Buddha, it was all of these different, all the archangels, all these different beings, even some of the Egyptian beings. And oh my gosh, I'm still meeting new ones even all these years later.
Wow.
They're coming to me and
So you're just being guided. You're being guided on your own journey.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know what to say about that. That's that's pretty profound. Okay, so teach us what are the things that we don't ask? You know, we want to make, you know, anybody watching this right now is somebody who's, you know, a seeker, right? Wants to do well, is been on their own path, their own journey, but interested and curious. So, you know, for the person who might not have an archangel visit them, you know, what are, they came to you for a reason, right? And to spread that information. So what is the, what's the one thing you think they want us to know?
Ooh, certainly how powerful we are, how beautiful we are, how supported we are. That's really it. The piece that I get again and again and again is this distortion of self-loathing and this struggle with real self-esteem. Mm. And you alluded to that earlier. Just, yeah, it's all very performative. We just kind of look at what the world has decided a powerful person looks like or a confident person looks like, and we mimic that. But it's a much different process of actually cultivating a relationship with your inherent value. And when you do that, you don't let your mind take you off into the hypnosis of I'm only good or lovable or deserving if I achieve all these things and make all this money and look a certain way and whatnot. You really get aligned with your own purpose, your own zone of genius, a way to express your own gifts. I had so much shame about being quiet and not really athletic and all these things and being artistic when all the cool kids were in sports and I loved music and I was writing poetry and I had so much shame around that. And then when I had my spiritual awakening, of course, then everyone's like, oh my gosh, we love your guided meditations. Your voice is so soothing and we love your writing and all this stuff. And it's like, oh wow, this is such a different experience in the one I grew up in. And mm-hmm. So I wish that for all of us, that we can really tap into what our inherent gifts are and where our inherent worth lies, create a really well-worn path inside of ourselves back to that place. So even if we do see this person that's just like killing it and we're comparing how we feel on the inside to how they appear on the outside,
right,
that we can always find our way back home to our own inherent value. Because that's our point of power. Our point of power is not feeling less than all these other people that we're feeling are doing so much better and so much more than us. Our point of power is in that connection to our inherent value, because it's the emotional intelligence, it's that EQ that will tell us what actually matters to us so that we can put our energy there. And we've heard way too many stories of, my parents said I had to be a lawyer or a doctor, so I did that, and then I was miserable, and 5 years later, and however many thousands of dollars later, you know, I became an artist, or I became a yoga right. teacher. So we don't have to put ourselves through all that. We really want to connect again with that self-attunement piece,
yeah.
So we can be in our lane. Not to say that a lot of the scenic route isn't necessary too. I'm glad that I had a corporate career and whatnot. I'm a yogi that knows how to use Excel and work with right. software. And, you know, so I feel like all of that was really good preparation. So it's not always as direct as we want it to be, but at the same time, yeah, cultivating that relationship with our self-worth, that relationship with our inherent gifts. And I know a lot of people say, I don't know what my inherent gifts are. And so you got to keep digging, yeah. right? Maybe you don't know now, but that's
but
the value.
Everybody has them. So it's like,
everybody.
Yeah, if you're a human walking on this earth, you were birthed with gifts that you, and it's part of the journey is finding out what those are.
Yes.
But I love that you said that the understanding your inherent value, I wish they would teach this in schools. It would be more educational for kids than any, you know, math problem they might learn, but
yeah.
That's my opinion. But no, I think that's where that solid foundation that you build for yourself, where you don't need anything external from you, you know, to validate who you are. Right. And so, mm-hmm. you know, I talk to a lot of people in corporate right now, and that was where I spent 20 years of my career. And so much of it is the hustle and the grinding it out and and the seeking for external and, you know, the worrying and the anxiety, and there's so little of it that's reflect that where the reflection is internal. Mm. And I really think that's, you know, when you can get to a place where you have that, yeah, that internal validation, that's your executive presence, right? That's your solid foundation that you need to stand off of. And I don't know if you don't have that. I think that's where, you know, then you see people get sick and they get stressed and, you know, it's like the life around you starts to crumble because you're standing on a sand house, right? There, you're not standing on solid footing. So it's really interesting that you mentioned it that way.
Oh, yes. I love the Dalai Lama quote. The paradox of our age is that we sacrifice our health to build wealth, and then we have to spend that wealth to try and restore our health.
Ah, so true though, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, it's a crazy journey. Okay, well, let's talk about manifestation.
Yes.
I love this topic.
Mm.
I love it.
Me too.
It's fun. It's like, oh, I don't know. It's like everyone is interested in it. And I mean, you go on YouTube and I think it's the number, it's like the top trending topic.
Mm.
Everybody wants to know, how do I manifest my SP? That's a big one. How do I manifest a new car? How do I manifest more money? I mean, I've had my experience with manifestation and it's been a very interesting. It's not really what I thought it was, right? I think it's very rooted in a, you know, transformational thinking. And, you know, I think it's very spiritually based. But if mm-hmm. you were to describe, if you were to tell somebody who's looking to manifest something, like how would you describe what that is?
It's healing.
Mm.
It's healing. That's where it's at. It's healing. Yeah.
I haven't heard it described like that before. How is it healing?
So my guides are coming in, if you don't mind. We warned you all we were going to get woo-woo, but...
Bring the guides in.
Here we go. Here we go.
I love it.
Guides are coming in. They're talking about how the Aquarian age is about our empowerment and our sovereignty. So if you incarnated in this period where 12-21-12... the Mayan calendar ended and we left the Piscean age and entered the age of Aquarius, then you're here either supporting that or really learning from that, or there was something that called your soul to be here in this exact moment of the change of ages. And so the nature of the age of Aquarius is to be empowered versus be sheeple or be slaves to these different systems and whatnot. We're all waking up and realizing that, yes, we can be entrepreneurs. We can find what our gifts are and use the law of reciprocity to be compensated for sharing them in meaningful ways and adding value to each other's lives. And this is the heart of this time. And that's why that's becoming more of a theme. And we're seeing the younger generations just won't work for other mm-hmm. corporations and things. They're wanting to do their own thing because that's the consciousness of this time we're in. So what the reason why I say that this is all about healing is because it's very difficult to put a prosperity energy on top of a scarcity energy and manifest abundance.
Mm-hmm.
We first have to heal the ways that we feel not enough in ourselves, like we were just talking about, mm-hmm. the self-worth piece, cultivating all of that. We have to figure out our limiting beliefs, our programs. For me, I saw growing up a lot of entitlement, a lot of abuse of power from the extremely affluent people around me. And so I realized after the spiritual awakening that I was still running a lot of resistance to money because I thought money was going to turn me into an asshole.
Yeah.
Can I say that?
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. So
it's YouTube. You can say whatever you want.
Fantastic. Yeah. But I did. And so I really had to sit with all of that. And I thought back as I was meditating on some of those programs and patterns and the resistance I was having to money, because we all say, I want money. That's obvious. We want the freedom. We want to be able to live our best lives. It gives us a lot of space to really explore and and feel like we've got resources to do the things we want to do. So of course we all want money, but we all have blocks to money too in different ways, or complicated relationships with it in one way or another. So as I was unraveling all of that, I also remembered as a little kid being at the grocery store with my mother, and I would say, oh, you know, this bread is 30 cents cheaper than that one. And she'd be like, honey, we're going to get the good bread. It's fine. You know, but I was like, where did I learn that? Where was I looking at that age for something less expensive? Where did I already have this scarcity consciousness? I had to have picked that up from the consciousness around me, even though it wasn't in my immediate family per se. I don't know, maybe it was, but somewhere I picked that up. And so I went bit by bit by bit, and I used affirmations that really made me squirm, like, I love money and money loves me and I'm rich and things like that. And, you know, but not in the context of, you know, I'm so great, I'm so superior, but just like, I'm rich, I'm wealthy, I'm right. And really just letting myself kind of squirm around with these affirmations and find out where those points of resistance still were inside of me. And that was such a healing journey. I mean, doing that.
Oh my gosh, you just said something. I think that's very educational. So there's a lot of talk about affirmations and how you should utilize affirmations in order to, you know, rewrite that neurological neuron in your brain that tells you, you know, you are or you aren't, right? So it's basically, you know, retelling your story. But that's not what an affirmation does, but the way you just said it is the way it should be used, which was, okay, you tell yourself a story of what you want, and your brain is either going to believe you or not believe you, and most likely it's not going to believe you because you haven't done the healing. But if you use the affirmation to find out where the trigger is and then heal the trigger, then that makes sense. That I've never heard it described like that. I think that's really powerful. Give your, like, what it is you want, and then you tell yourself that story, and then you figure out, because that's how you find out what your belief system is anyway. You could take a look at your reaction to any given situation, and whatever that trigger is, that's, you have a limiting belief within that trigger. And then it's your job to unpack that, heal that, rewrite that story, you know, give your brain, which is like an SEO machine, give it existing evidence to rewrite that narrative. And, you know, and move forward with a new belief that does serve you. So that's so interesting. I love that you just use an affirmation that way. I love that. Nice.
Well, I love that you just articulated all of that. You totally proved my point for me. Thank you. You made that so easy.
I mean, I get it, right? I love hearing the way other people talk about it. And then I get little pieces of nuggets of the way it gets explained. So fascinating.
Oh. Yes, triggers are trailheads. Yeah. So I feel like with everything you just shared, the folks listening are probably going to get it. Like, oh, this is why he said healing the first
time. Yeah, because I didn't know. I was like, healing, that is not what I expected you to say at all. And I'm like, well, how are we getting to healing? But now I'm like, oh, I get it.
Oh,
so good. I get that. It's so good. That is a powerful nugget, man. So good.
So happy you're vibing with that. So happy.
Vibing with that.
If I can just offer another piece that I've really noticed as my career has bloomed and I've worked with thousands of people, you know, so intimately with these things, I notice this other core commonality, shall I say, where we have these polarized parts. One part is holding all the shame. One part is holding the exiles, the parts of us that weren't welcome in our homes or our societies or whatever, the parts that we had to disown. In parts therapy, we call them the exiles, right? And that's where we tend to hold the majority of our shame. And so that is, I'm worse than everybody else. I'm not good enough, never going to be good enough. Those kinds of beliefs are held by those parts. But in order to keep us from totally collapsing into that shame spiral, our ego then over here has to inflate us in certain ways. Well, maybe I'm smarter than everyone else, or maybe I'm more this or that, you know, more beautiful. Or if I, get this really great position at work, then, you know, then I'll have this leverage for my shame. And so this is where the other piece of healing comes in, is we don't want to be polarized between our shame and our inflated egos. We want to create enough healing inside of ourselves that we don't need either one. We can touch into the shame and heal that and realize that we do have this inherent value and we do have a right to take up space and be prosperous and manifest everything that's in alignment for our higher purpose. It's all in that package anyway. When we're incarnating, all of our resources are available to us. It just makes it more interesting if we have to dig for them and excavate them a little bit more, right?
Yeah.
So the tricky part is the ego will have you chasing things that really aren't necessary or for you, right? Like, I gotta look perfect. I gotta whatever, you know, all those things are that the ego's like, gotta have a nice car. It's LA, you know, you're nothing if you right. don't have the new Mercedes. Right. And like, none of that is true. What the shame is telling you isn't true. What the ego is telling you isn't true. You gotta bring those two together, integrate them in that healing process so that you can hear the truth. Mm. So I always encourage people to look at that too. What is it that you don't want anybody else to know about you? What feels like something you just could not name because your shame would just flood your system? Those kinds of things are often our superpowers. We just misinterpreted them, or they were made to feel so unwelcome in our environments that we have this distorted relationship with them. But we want to be coloring with all the colors in our coloring box, right? Yeah. Or the crayon box. We want to be coloring with all of our colors. So it is that reclaiming of the whole self, because we're never going to manifest in alignment with our higher purpose if we're not working with our whole being. We need the whole self to be moving in that direction of our higher destiny.
Well, it's definitely not as easy as saying, okay, go visualize your new car. Say a couple of affirmations and then your car appears. I think that's the...
Yeah. that's the tricky part with law of attraction. Sometimes we can get ourselves into a really high vibration and that puts us in a state where we become magnetic and things come to us. But as I said before, it's really hard to put a prosperity frequency on top of all this unhealed stuff going on inside. So we really want to... Yeah, do the healing part first and know that we're actually vibrating the same frequency that we want to bring back. And also, I really appreciate the set it and forget it method.
Yeah.
Because the second we have a desire rise up and we start putting energy toward it, we assign resistance to it because we're always afraid that it might not happen,
mm-hmm.
right? So we're getting that little bit of fear, that little bit of resistance entangled with every desire that rises up. So sometimes it really is like, there could be a better plan for me. It might be a winding road, but I'm gonna put out to the best of my ability, my greater vision, whatever I really truly intuitively feel is my higher purpose or my greater vision for my life. And put that out there with a little bit of wiggle room. I'm not going to push God out. Like, I'm going to let the divine intelligence also help guide that, because I might be missing pieces. So we have to keep a little bit of space open and some adaptability open for that divine intelligence to help us on that manifestation track too.
Yeah, letting go of the how and the control. Yeah. I think resistance is a really powerful word too, because that's also what a trigger is. You know, a lot of people don't understand, well, a trigger, I just got upset about something. But when you're upset about something, it's like you have resistance towards something, right? And it's really identifying that and trying to understand where that's coming from. I love David Bayer. I listen to him quite a bit. I'm part of his organization. And he has a whole framework. Desire plus non-resistance equals desired result. And it's true, right? You have a desire for something. And it's your job then to really, set it, forget it. Let go of the resistance. Heal any of the triggers you might have inside you, and and you will get to where you want to get to, if you can set that track moving forward. So anyway, it's a beautiful way that you just described it. Thank you so much for sharing all that. What have I not asked you that I should ask you?
Oh my goodness. I don't know. For some reason, I just had a ping of my yearly vision board things. That's a hot topic right now too, especially associated with manifestation. And it's so funny because I usually don't look at it throughout the year, but I get really present with myself on New Year's Eve every year. And I really put, you know, imagery and words into the vision book, and I connect to it and I pray over it. And a lot of times when I open it up the next year on December 31st, I'll be really shocked at all the things that actually happened. I even had this really important voyage where I was visiting Israel and I was visiting Stonehenge and I was visiting Egypt, kind of all on the same trip. And it was so funny that I went back to my vision board at the end of that year, and there were pictures of all those places in the exact order that I ended up going to them.
No way.
Yeah, and I had completely forgotten. But yeah, that's just another plug for set it and forget it. Sometimes if we're really like, we're in that vision board every day, right, and we're pushing too hard, it's like, we got to relax a little.
Yeah.
Let it happen organically.
Yeah, because it's like, it does, you start to create resistance. Like, why hasn't this happened yet? Why, how am I going to make this happen? And then you get into the how, and you really do have to release the how, you know, and just let things work out the way that they're supposed to work out.
Oh, absolutely. Don't push God out. Keep space for spirit.
Yeah.
The other piece that my guides are popping in with is choice mastery, this concept that that original archangel that came to me began to really mentor me and put me through spiritual hygiene boot camp, and, you know, sent me off to a bunch of other trainings and things too. Just, oh my gosh, so many sacred journeys and pilgrimages. But he always talks about choice mastery, which I think you touched on a moment ago too, as, are we really clear enough in ourselves to be taking the actions that are aligned with our desired outcomes? Are we at that level of choice mastery that all of our choices are really contributing to our healing process, to the healthiest possible relationship with ourselves that we can have, that self-attunement, that self-worth? Are we really putting our energy where it's needed to realize the outcomes that we're seeking, to actually manifest that greater vision? So there is that free will piece and that choice mastery piece, because we can get super frustrated when it feels like things aren't happening as fast as we want them to. But if we really take inventory, a lot of times it's like, well, yeah, it was, you know, I was watching Netflix and then I was doing this and then I got distracted by that. And it's kind of like, yeah, the universe is going, we need you to meet us halfway here.
Yeah.
So
the action is, the inspired action.
Yes.
Is important.
Yes. That power of choice and so much power in placing our energy where it's going to actually lead us in the direction we want to go. So that feels really, really big.
Yeah, really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else those guides are telling you?
There's something here for sure. Let me just check in, see what they're talking about.
I mean, I'm pretty spiritual, but I don't have this. So.
Yeah, this piece is... I feel they're just kind of nodding to what we call quantum physics and quantum entanglement, and to really resource ourselves with that which doesn't always seem so obvious. Because through the principles of quantum entanglement, we are always connected to the whole. We can really resource ourselves in that capacity. And so it is important, just back to this point of spending quality time with ourselves, that we downregulate our brain rate, which is why meditation teachers are always talking about slowing down your breath, because your brain rate will follow your breath rate. So we want to slow down our breath so we can slow down our brain rate, so we can slow down our nervous system to the degree that we kind of go to zero. And in that zero point energy, or sometimes described as the scalar wave energy, we are then plugged in to the whole, and we can really feel ourselves being resourced, whether that's healing the emotional body, the physical body, the mental body, some part of the spiritual body, some chakra that got out of whack, whatever. Something about that still point. And that was one of the first things that this archangel had me do, was start every morning by going to zero. And he said, if you are willing to go to zero, you can become everything. So I would use these mantras, like, I empty myself so the universe can fill me. I started to relate to myself as a vessel for that divine intelligence to move through. And I think all of us are anointed with these particular destinies. And if we're relating to ourselves as these worthy vessels for this consciousness that already exists, for this destiny and this beauty and this experience that's already existing on the astral plane, we think of ourselves as the chosen ones, as the anointed ones for that energy to express through, then there's a lot more ease. We don't feel like we need to really use that personal willpower and deplete ourselves so much to make things happen. We're just really getting into that allowing piece. Mm-hmm. I'm an open vessel. This consciousness that's choosing to express itself through me, I welcome. Mm. I welcome.
Wow, that was really beautiful and powerful. And I think one thing you said I want to make sure everyone takes away is how you're powerful because you're here. So you could be sitting, you know, in your living room on your phone, feeling down or feeling distraught or, you know, alone. And this is the time for you to get really clear and get really quiet. And get to the place of like, hey, what am I really here for? Because if you're feeling that, it's not true, right? You're not meant to feel those things. You're associating a meaning with a belief system you have. So get really clear on what that is that's making you feel that way, and understand that you are so powerful and a co-creator of your own life, and get really clear on like what you were meant to do. And I love I love that you just said that. You know, we forget how powerful we are. We are so powerful. Yeah. So thank you so much for being here and hanging out at the studio today. I really appreciate it.
Such a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Great conversation.
Oh, such a blessing.
Yeah, thank you.
Indeed.
All right. Well, I hope you guys get some really good nuggets out of that. I'm going to be really curious to get your feedback. So make sure you leave us some comments. And I will leave all of Sat's contact information in the show notes as well. And if you're feeling like you need a little bit more assistance or not sure where you are in your mindset world right now, you can text SHIFT to 55444. And I'm going to send you a little assessment. And if you need more help, we can go from there. Thank you guys so much. We'll see you soon.
Leadership on Purpose, a featured presentation, airs every Monday on the Earth Angel Media Network. This episode of Leadership on Purpose is sponsored and produced by Live Pure. Optimize your life by taking your health to the next level. Listen now to learn how Live Pure will make your world better.
Live Pure is an American-based distribution system of online portals that give discounted access to clean, potent, natural, and ethically sourced healthy solutions for fat loss, muscle gain, immaculate skin care, immune system support, whole body cleanse, physiological balance, and performance support for athletes of all ages. Live Pure handpicks the best products and nutrients from world-class companies, always adding to their quickly growing wellness lineup that now includes Korean skincare, medical-grade nutraceuticals listed as pharmaceutical alternatives in the physician's desk reference, and healthy coffee that rivals the world's best, but for only about $1 per cup. Leadership on Purpose listeners looking for vitality, youth, beauty, and better health can get 25% off retail by visiting livepure.com/leadership and signing up for free as a preferred customer. If you are a content creator, influencer, or home-based entrepreneur looking for worldwide cash flows from the emerging gig economy, Live Pure's state-of-the-industry brand partner affiliate program can bring you up to 7 different payment vectors as bonuses. As a content creator aligned with Live Pure and Earth Angel Media, you will enjoy massive co-marketing benefits, including a cutting-edge website that is personally branded to you or to your business. Sign up as a brand partner affiliate at livepure.com/leadership or drop us a note at connect@earthangelproject.com to get more information.